I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in. Hi there, it's Jody, the mom side of Mom and Doc Talk. Dr. Barr and I are taking a short summer break to soak up some family time, and we hope you are too. While we're away, we're bringing back some of your favorite episodes, especially powerful stories from parents who've been where you are and found their way forward with homeopathy. We hope these episodes give you a little extra hope and a reminder that healing is possible. The Mom and Doc Talk podcast is brought to you by Resilience Naturopathic, a team of naturopathic doctors specializing in helping children with PANS pandas heal through classical homeopathy. Our providers are supported by a team made up largely of PANS parents, so we truly understand what you are going through. We work with families around the world and are determined to change how PANS families experience healthcare. You can learn more about us at resiliencenaturopathic.com. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. By popular demand, we have another guest host here to talk to us about her story of PANS and pandas and homeopathy. So I am so excited to welcome Candace to the podcast today. Let me tell you just a little bit about her before we dive in. So Candace has three amazing kids, two of whom have navigated the challenges of autism and pandas. She's also had the opportunity to heal herself, recovering from chronic headaches. Me too. So let's talk about that a little bit, maybe. PCOS and depression. Her family's healing journey sparked a deep dive into homeopathy, holistic health, and the incredible ways the body communicates with us. She's passionate about understanding how the body guides us, and she truly believes that healing begins when we learn how to listen. These experiences have taught her to trust her intuition and embrace a completely different lifestyle that now supports the well-being of her whole family. Candace, I can't wait to hear all about this new lifestyle and all the changes that have come about as this journey has unfolded for you. So welcome.
Candace, I know that was the official about you, but tell us a little bit more about who you are as a person, your family, and whatnot.
It is hard when you've had like an extended period of time with a lot of health issues, because a lot of things in the past have gone by the wayside. We haven't been able to do a lot of family activities for a very long time. My son wouldn't leave the house. We wouldn't do anything. It was just, we were living in a very traumatic place. So I feel like just a lot of things went by the wayside. But we are now in a place where I'm like, I think we actually get to kind of rediscover what we like, what we do as a family, start to live a little bit more. You know, my son, he used to love the water and the lake, and now we've been able to do that a little bit. And we haven't been anywhere. We just went to Disneyland. Just things that I did not think were possible years ago are starting to, like, I didn't think they were possible. And when we were healing, I was hoping for some improvements, but some of the things that are starting to happen, I'm just like, we might actually get to start figuring out who we are and what we want. We just haven't been able to think about that for a long time. So I don't know how to answer who I am, but I feel like it's coming.
Oh, I feel that right here.
For all of us, right? Like, no matter where we're at in life, it's just going to keep unfolding. And like, whatever life throws at us, it changes a little bit about who we are. I just have to ask, did you love Disneyland?
So we told him, because he literally has not, this is very new that he leaves the house. Mm-hmm. He still doesn't love crowds. That's the kind of an autism side of it. Yeah. But we were like, if you want to leave after a few hours, you can leave. That's totally fine. We got the DAS pass so we could wait in shorter lines. And he blew me away. Like, he's always loved adventure and rides, but he just has not been able to live that part of himself for so long. Like, I'm talking since he's little. Because the severe OCD and everything just like stopped him from doing anything. So it was so fun to see him be on a ride and smile. Like, he hated the lines, he hated the crowds, but like, he got to enjoy the rides. Yeah. And that was worth it. And we didn't make it through the whole day, because it was still a lot. But for me, I'm just like, it seems so stupid. Like, who cares if you get to go to Disneyland? I know people like it, but that's not you'll be fine if you don't ever do that. But for me, I'm just like, we're getting to actually live and enjoy life.
Right.
Instead of just like getting through life.
Yeah. I just asked because I just took my daughter to Disneyland for the first time, and like we also had some early departure days and all
Oh, yeah.
that. So, I was just curious. All right. So as you shared early on, or in your bio, that you're navigating both PANS and autism with your family, what showed up first, or was it even clear?
It was not clear, and part of that was because I was only familiar with the type of autism that was more nonverbal, things like that. So my first child, he wouldn't look at people, wouldn't go to people. We'd sit at the park for an hour before he'd leave my side to go play. Little bit of a fixated interest on certain things and no interest in other things. He could count to four at eight, or not, I'm sorry, he could count to 10 at age three, and then at age four he like lost all of his abilities to count, and we didn't get that back for 2 years. So there was these signs. He wasn't actually officially diagnosed with autism because we were just kind of in a, well, let's see like what developmentally happens. Will he grow out of any of these things? But there was definitely signs and concerns of things we were watching.
So, when did PANS come onto your radar? And was there like a shift in how things were going?
Yeah, I actually did not know what PANS or PANDAS was till he was about 13 years old, and that's when we first started seeing RN. But when he was, so he didn't start preschool until he was five. We started him later because of, his difficulty and stress with joining group things. So we thought it'd be a little bit better to start him older. And he went to preschool, and between preschool and kindergarten, I felt like every 3 months he got strep throat. And so this was like an on and off thing. He got strep, he got antibiotics. The next month he was sick with something else, and he got strep again. And it was like this process for 2 years. And during that time, he started getting verbal tics, and his teachers would get so frustrated, like, he can't make that. It sounded like he was clearing his throat all the time. So he started with these tics. And then around that time, as they were trying to learn to use their pencils and write a little bit, he like started like furiously erasing everything, like couldn't do anything unless it was really perfect. And the hand washing started. He had to just wash his hands constantly. So it wasn't anything super big at that point, but there was this little like, all of a sudden these things are happening. If that's all it was, okay, fine. But the strep throat was continuing, so we actually had his tonsils taken out at the end of that, about 2 years of strep throat. And everything was so good for about 9 months. Like, it's like I have notes. I don't think most people keep notes on their kids, but because I was watching some things, I had notes from where he was at the time. And I had gone back when I found out what PANDAS was. I went back and looked at my notes, and I was like, okay, he got his tonsils out. Great. Like, all the things seemed really good. And 9 months later, verbal tics came back, motor tics came back, the hand washing came back with like a fury. He started having really intrusive thoughts that terrified me. Like, he was out, he like it terrified him. He didn't want them. He's like, I'd never do that. But he was having these, just all of these terrifying thoughts. And school was always hard for him, but now it was like a different kind of a shift with like a lot of school refusal. And like things just kind of started coming on stronger at that point. And so again, we still didn't know what this was. And it wasn't until he was about 11 years old when I had to leave out of town for a few days for my grandma's funeral. And I left my kids home with my husband. So they were still in their comfort zone being taken well care of. I came back and they're like, we don't know what's going on. He's been in the shower like all day for 2 days. And from that point on, it was just like a like out of nowhere. For the next 2 to 3, no, it was about 3 years, he could not get out of the shower. He was in the shower for probably 8 to 10 hours a day. Everything in the world was contaminated. His skin was raw, red, bleeding. Like, he just had to constantly soap up, be in the shower, he'd get out, ball, like had to get back in. Just that was his only safe place. Like, if the water went cold, he'd still have to sit in there. He'd have to like scrub the shower walls. And it just became like all of a sudden he was like non-functional because he couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't exist outside of like being in the soap, essentially.
And there was nothing that was like a clear thing other than you left and.
I left and I always was like, was that so distressful to him? And that might have been part of it. But
Probably not. Probably not.
well, jump forward. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping all
No,
over the
it's
place.
okay.
But jump forward, our first year with resilience, he all of a sudden started getting out of nowhere symptoms where he felt like he had to urinate all the time. And it was like a constant feeling like he had to go. We took him in, all of the bladder infection tests were negative. And we're like, okay, it's not that. We took him to a urologist. The only thing they had for him was just some medicine to like force his bladder to feel calm. And I was like, we were already starting homeopathy, so I didn't want to suppress symptoms, so we chose not to go that route. But our doctor, Dr. Rowley, she was like, go get him a strep test. Let's just see if this is a strep flare. But he had no symptoms. He had not run fevers for years. No, nothing in his throat looked like strep. You know, he had his tonsils out, but there was no physical symptoms of strep. She's like, just go get it tested. And we went and, well, okay, so the story with that is we went to get tested, and the doctor was like, no, he doesn't need a strep test. He doesn't have fevers, he doesn't have any signs. And so I explained the whole process, I explained the history, I explained that we were working with a doctor for pandas. And she's like, no, he hasn't had fevers. I don't see any reason. And I said, he has not had fevers. I can't remember since when, probably since he was 5 or 6. And we're talking, he's 13 years old now. And she says, well, and I told her about like the showers, the OCD, like how bad it was at this point. This is our ultimate like struggle time. And she says, maybe he just has a really good immune system. And I'm like, what? And she's like, well, he doesn't run fevers. You know, that's probably a good sign of a really good immune system. And I was just like, okay, like I literally went back like crying to Dr. Rowley, and I was like, I can't do it anymore. I've been to so many doctors between like all of these things, and I cannot sit there and try to convince people that there's like things anymore. And so like she's like, I think it would just be so helpful if we knew for sure if this like flare-up was strep related. And so I was so like devastated. I like couldn't handle anything at that point. She actually called and found a doctor in my state that would agree to give me a strep test, so I didn't have to go through the trauma of like trying to convince someone to help us. And then we went, and sure enough, like the rapid came back negative, but they sent in the culture, and they're like, yeah, he has strep. And so I just think like when we fast forward through all these steps, how we've had like these like a flare-up, and then like years later, like a sudden onset, like worse flare-up, and then all of a sudden a sudden onset, worse flare-up. And I'm like, I think he was dealing with strep the whole time, but maybe there was periods where he was really having like a flare-up. And we knew, because we confirmed with strep at that time, that was definitely affecting him, but he had no signs of it, you know, outwardly.
Candace, in our kind of, or not just our, in the entire PANS community, I see a lot of conversation about the confusion between the overlap between PANS and ASD symptoms. I know you told us about some of his symptoms. Can you talk to us a little bit more about those and if there was anything that was clearly ASD or clearly PANS to you?
So again, at the time, I probably couldn't have picked it out because I wasn't the expert on either. Like I said, I didn't even know what PANS was. But looking back now, I'm like, there was like some social communication skills, which I feel like are more autistic, like monologuing, difficulty with back and forth conversations, a lot of strong sensory issues. Like I know some autistics have the sensory seeking. Both of my boys have sensory avoidance. So when the sensory things get too strong, they just need to like shut down, you know, lights, clothing, textures, sounds. So there was definitely those things that I feel like were more autistic. Like both of them really have difficulty with getting their thoughts out into writing. Like writing is a real struggle. So I feel like those types of things were more on the autism spectrum, whereas the pandas, those symptoms were far more traumatic, at least for our family. It was like almost more torturous symptoms for them, like the fixation on having to only do something if it was perfect, the hand washing till your hands bleed, the I don't know that urinary issues are common with everybody, but that was a really rough one. The constant need to feel like you had to pee, and just like the intrusive thoughts were really, really scary. And so looking back now, we've pretty much healed all of the what I would consider the panda symptoms. And we are still working on healing some of the autism symptoms. And I don't know if that fully goes away or not, but what I have seen is some of the autism things that were really difficult for them before seem to be a little bit easier now, a little bit more manageable. Like some comprehension skills are getting better, things like that.
So I just want to clarify something really quick because some of the things that you mentioned, a lot of people are probably hearing and saying, "Oh, but I feel like that happens with my kid who's with PANS, that's like clearly PANS, like the sensory stuff, and both like the being having too much sensory things and like sensitivity to clothes, even some of the ways that like with communication and like engaging and everything. In my experience, where like the difference lies, because even that can be like overlapping, right? Is whether it's fluctuating or persistent. So it sounds like they were more persistent for you, less fluctuating. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would think so. And
Yeah.
I, like I said, autism is such a spectrum that I've learned a lot, but because we've had the intermix of things, I'm not even 100% clear on what is what.
Right, right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, like, that for anybody who was like, wait a minute. Is this, could my kid actually have autism, but they've got all these things, but they come and go like with
Oh,
all
yes.
together, right?
Yes.
That where
Yeah,
there tends
the
to be more of like the fluctuation and they come and go in like during a flare, they're like this. And when they're not in a flare, they're not. That's probably more
Yes.
PANS
Like
versus like.
for my boys, the sensory things, the difficulty with the communication, that's been constant their whole life. That's never like up and down. Like we're seeing improvements now, I think, through homeopathy, but it's never been like a like an up and down. Whereas the pandas were like, it wasn't there before, and then all of a sudden we were having these symptoms, and sometimes it'd be calmer and sometimes it was worse. Yes.
Right. For some reason, I feel like it needs to be said that the same thing can be true with both like ADHD symptoms and dyslexia, that we can have dyslexia that is PANS related, that is only present during a flare. Same thing with like ADHD that is only present during a flare. Or you can have this mix, like you're like it sounds like you have with both of your boys, where there's one underlying thing going on that's like, a neuro spiciness, right? And then this other added extra special thing that you get with pandas, this, fun adventure.
Extra special. So actually you're teaching me something because my youngest was diagnosed with auditory dyslexia, and you're saying that that can be a little bit on the PAN side or
Yes.
pandas, and I didn't realize that. But that is actually one of the things that as of recently we're seeing like a lot better comprehension or like the auditory processing seems to be getting better. So I was like, oh, that might be for him, perhaps that's more on the panda side.
It's absolutely possible.
Yeah. As a mom, how did you navigate the confusion that can come along with having kiddos with both conditions?
Not well. I was like determined, like it's, I'm sure as most moms, determined to figure out what they needed, but it was like in front of them, in front of other people on their faces, I was just like holding it together and trying to figure things out, and then I like drop them off or whatever, and I'd bawl for an hour. I'd just be like, I can't like get out of bed for hours. Like there was a lot of depression going on underneath the trying to be really functional. And for me, I think the hardest part was just feeling so misunderstood because there wasn't anybody I knew that could understand what we were going through. Like if I tried to talk to moms with autistic kids, their kids didn't totally relate to my kids either. So we didn't really relate to like the side of autism with the low support needs, and we weren't the same as the ones that had high support needs. We were totally different, but the thing is, I felt like we had really high support needs, but everyone was just like oblivious to it, or we had it and they'd just be like, oh, your kid's just a master manipulator. And I'm like, okay, so that's what we're reducing it down to, you know? So it was just hard. And I think looking back, I did well for what I was able to do, but we just didn't get any guidance along the way. And so it was really rough.
I'm curious when you started your own healing journey with homeopathy.
Not until I found Resilience Naturopathic on your Facebook group. So when my oldest was 13, so I figure he, you know, I can't prove it, but the soft PANS, I think, kind of came on around age 5, 6. 11 was when he had the really big flare up, couldn't get out of the shower. That's when we were like full on trauma mode. Banging on the walls in the shower, like he didn't want to live. Like it was traumatic. Watching your child suffer is traumatic. And then so I was trying to figure all the things out. We even had more evaluations, and they at that point switched his diagnosis to autism level 3, like substantial support needs. They didn't even understand everything that was going on. Whereas looking back, I'm like, he's not an autism level 3. He's probably between an autism level 1 to 2 with having had pandas. So at age 13, I was still looking for answers, and I found some podcast, and I don't even remember whose it was, and they were talking about this sudden onset OCD, and I listened to it, and I was first introduced to Pans and Pandas, and I was like, wow, this is the first thing that I've ever read that I'm like, this is my child. And so I went on the internet and I was just looking for anything I could read about it. And on Facebook, I found two Facebook groups about Pans Pandas, one of them being homeopathy for Pans and Pandas. And I joined that group. And I was fascinated by the two groups because the one group, I mean, the other group was great too, but the one group, there was just tons of stories of very distressed parents. And the other group, there are still stories of distressed parents, but there was like also stories of people that are like, well, my child's getting better. And so I really quickly was like, okay, I am not looking there. There's tons of things to try. I'm only going to focus on where I'm seeing the most success stories. Not, and there's also lots of things that can be like, this was a really good fix for a time, but then it came back. I'm like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for what's getting people like real long-term results. So that's where I focused in on the homeopathy for Pans and Pandas group. And I started listening to Mom and Dog podcast or just reading like tons of posts. I was just going through post after post and reading it and just learning about homeopathy and more about Pans and Pandas. I got myself a couple of books and read those books because, interestingly enough, when I learned about homeopathy, we had actually had a doctor a couple years before. It was some like scam thing. You know, I was willing to try anything at that point. There was some scam thing, and they're like, okay, all of these remedies would be good for him. And they made like a mixed bottle of different remedies. Oh my gosh, that made him so much worse. And I didn't understand homeopathy before. Now I'm like probably giving him like a dozen remedies all at once. Like his system was like he got way worse with that. So I'm like, if I'm gonna go this route, I need to understand this because this doesn't make sense for me. So I started reading books, understanding, and I didn't know all the remedies or anything like that, but I just wanted to understand how homeopathy worked in the body. And once I understand that, it was like light bulbs went off. And I'm like, I don't know, just like something like so inside of me is just like this makes sense. This feels like truth that this is going to be really good for his body. And so, you know, signed up and that was the best decision.
So what did you try before you got to homeopathy?
So before he was in counseling. I talk mostly about my oldest one because when my younger one came along, he started with resilience when he was, I think, like five. Yeah. And so he didn't have to get as bad because we started so much younger, whereas my older one had been dealing with it for so long before we finally started. But beforehand, we did, like he was 8 years old in counseling. We started like dietary changes, trying to eat really healthy, seeing if there was like tried some different periods of eliminations for foods to see if that was an issue. We did. I got really into essential oils, which I still love, by the way, but they weren't the right tool for this. And we did a lot of blood work. We had very customized, specialized supplements where I was spending, you know, $300 a month on very customized supplements with blood work. Doing all of that, that actually just taught me that his system is super sensitive. He couldn't even, I feel like just some of the things made him worse. He was super sensitive to like any supplements that, and we were using like really good grade supplements, but certain B supplements, certain whatever, just like didn't work great for him. And all of that stuff, I actually am still a big believer in supplements and blood work and things like that, but it wasn't. His body just couldn't. I just don't think his body could just handle all of that. And there was something missing.
I'm with you. I'm a big believer, like labs can give you really good information. We just can't treat a lab. We have to treat a person, right? And supplements in the right the as the right tool in the right place for the right amount of time can be really helpful to like get you through tough periods, but not everybody can handle them, you know? Some people deserve.
Also, it's really rough to get your child to take supplements. This is like it's like a battle. Whereas homeopathy, they're like, oh, I'll take this just fine. But the supplements were, it was really rough to get them to take.
I mean, I'm a grown up and it's hard for me to take them sometimes. You know, I definitely get pill
I will
fatigue.
say that the one thing that I think is so awesome, and I want to share, not the one thing, but his liver enzymes for years when we were doing all the blood work were just in really, really high ranges. Not that's not awesome, but it was actually something that caused me like a great amount of distress and concern because I'm like, he's 10, 11, 12, like his liver is not doing okay. Even after we were watching it, even after doing the supplements and things, and it never got any better. And when we started homeopathy, we basically stopped all supplements. I think there was a few we did just here and there for a little bit in the beginning, but we pretty much, that was kind of a fight. So we pretty much stopped that. We stopped, I mean, I was still trying to feed my kids healthy, but we stopped any regimented anything because everything was such a struggle at that point. So we pretty much stopped everything we were doing and just did homeopathy. 3 years into homeopathy, we did blood work again, and his liver enzymes were pretty much back into normal ranges.
Yeah,
So I'm
that's right.
like that was a side effect we didn't know was going to happen, but his liver is like blood work shows his liver was healing.
Yeah. No, that's a thing that I've seen more often than I would like for it to be, that kids who are doing all the right things, taking the natural approach or whatever, and like even these supplements, sometimes even supplements that are meant to help the liver. The liver doesn't improve until you stop taking them all because it's just so much for the body to process. So I'm really glad his liver's doing better.
Yeah, it's doing better. And like I said, I still take supplements. I'm still a believer of them. I just don't think his, like, now that, like, in hindsight, I can see how sensitive his system was. And to try to do all these things at once, I just don't think his body was able to
Yeah.
do all that at once.
And some people they're able to. They're like I'm actually
Yeah.
somebody that my liver enzymes started to go up, and you know what? I stopped taking all the supplements like that I was taking, and they got better. Same thing. So for some people, if the it, like if you're seeing some of these things, sometimes blood work will get better by doing less, honestly.
That's so interesting. And that's the other thing that I find interesting is there's not a one fit supplement or something for every body. So I could sit here and be like, well, we did this, this, and this, and that didn't work, but maybe that would work for you. But we did this, this, and this homeopathic remedy and it worked. But even with homeopathy, that's why I think people, when they're new to homeopathy, they're like, why don't you just tell me what remedies you use? And it's like, well, because that's maybe not what your body needs.
Got to be why it works so well, though, because it's exactly what each of our kids needs.
Yeah, like my two boys, there's been one or two remedy overlaps that have really helped both of them, but the rest of them, like what's healed them has been totally different remedies. So
Very cool. So, talk to us about y'all's healing journey. What has it been like?
our healing, what the first year, my younger son had a remedy, like I think it was the third remedy we tried, that was like magical. Magical, magical, magical. And I was like, oh my goodness, like lasted for like 2 weeks and went away and I cried and cried. And because we didn't find another remedy that actually gave us long-term results for that for quite a while after that, I would say closer to the year mark. My older son, we found a few things early on that helped a little bit, but nothing significant. But that goes into where all of a sudden he started with the feeling the need to urinate all the time. So all of a sudden this new symptom came on and we figured out that it was strep related. And so his first year was probably our most traumatic year with pandas. I kid you not, like at night he would like convulse because he couldn't relax his body because he felt like he had to pee. And if he got up to use the bathroom, his OCD would make it so he had to shower. So then he couldn't sleep because he always felt like he had to use the bathroom and he had to use the shower. So we were living like zombies. My husband and I just alternated not sleeping, trying to help him like get into bed so he could get to sleep. It just made the whole cycle worse. It was really traumatic. So honestly, my first year of homeopathy was really traumatic. And I will say, if I had not read those books, watched those podcasts to educate myself about how homeopathy could work, I think like we were so close, like I can't tell you, like every day for like a year to just mean like, we have to go put him. I'm like, am I making the wrong decision? Like every day, I'm like, I felt good about this. I felt good about this. When I try to think of going to do some of these other medications or things, I'm like, I don't feel like it's, I feel like it's maybe a temporary help. I don't feel like it's a long-term help, but I every day question myself if I was making the right answer, because when your child's suffering, you're like, I don't have time just to guess and hope that I'm right. But every time I went back to it and I could just like sit with it, I'm like, this is what I feel good about. And I don't know where that came from, but I'm like, this is what I feel good about. So we stuck with it. And when it was getting really bad, our doctor actually ended up, like, she was emailing us on a weekly basis, and we were having calls every 2 weeks. And she told me that she took our case to, like, the team of doctors, and they were all, like, working on it to make sure they were finding the right remedy. And what I think is amazing about that is the urinary thing was so bad, and we could have taken the medicine from the doctor to calm his bladder, but we didn't. And so we were trying some other remedies. I think, I don't know what the doctor's process was, so I could be misspeaking, but I think we were probably trying some more remedies for, like, the overall PAMS symptom and the OCD. But then we said, we're just going to focus on this urinary issue. And they actually gave us Cantharis, which I know is a good one for urinary issues. And we gave us that. And oh my goodness, within days, we were seeing relief. Within, like, a week or two, like, it was, like, significantly better. And we stayed on that remedy for months. And that was the beginning of our breakthrough. All of a sudden, it was like, we could breathe. Like, there was still a lot of PANDAS things, but we just had this huge improvement, and he was relaxing. It wasn't so traumatic. He was still having OCD, but he could be calm through it. He could start to sleep. And I just look back and I'm like, if we had not been able to so clearly see that symptom of the urinary thing, which led us to why we picked that remedy, we could have still been trying another 5 or 10 remedies, I don't know, before we picked the one that his body was really calling for. And so we made it through that year mark. And like I said, it was literally traumatic, right? Because we started with RN in a January, and we started Cantharis the December after that first year. So it was literally at the year mark when we all of a sudden hit the remedy that gave us, like, a significant show of something was working.
Just for anybody who might be curious, with this, there are lots of different ways that you can look at a case. We're always looking at the totality, and sometimes we have these really strong symptoms that are, it's not that we're like, okay, we're not going to pay attention to the PANS. We still want to make sure that a remedy will cover those things. But sometimes there's like one symptom that is like the prominent symptom saying, like, pay attention to me. And sometimes those can really help guide us to it. 'Cause we are, even if we're seeing like, okay, this is the main thing that we're that's like stands out the most because of its intensity and its severity. We're still wanting to see global improvement. And it sounds like you did have not like it's not like everything went away right away or anything like that, 'cause that's not what we're looking
No,
for,
but
but
we had significant improve, like, that specific symptom got tons better, and that was the one causing the most distress. And so it just brought us, like, relief to be like, this there's no denying that this remedy is doing something in his body, because it was so night and day.
Well, it sounds like there were some other things too that improved along with it, even if it wasn't quite as profound and not like everything was gone. So, like, that's what we can see, and that's what we're always looking for is the best fit, including for like a most prominent symptom. But yeah.
And you'll have to, like I said, I speak things based on what I see them from a mom perspective. So I don't actually know what the doctor,
Well, that's why it's a mom and doc talk,
why
right? Is because we
she
see
makes her
both
decision, but I was
perspectives.
like, well, that's what it looked like to me, and it worked. So,
Fantastic.
and then the next year we had, I forget, we tried a few things that helped a little bit, and then we found another remedy that kind of gave him another little boost, and we stayed on that for a while. So I feel like I would describe year two as kind of a slow and steady healing. It wasn't as much of the big, like, whoa, we had this big jump, but it was just like, every time, sometimes I'd even forget when we'd have our appointments and they'd ask me about the symptoms of how he's doing the month before. I'd be like, oh, actually, that's gotten quite better. And so it was just like this gradual progression the next year. So year two was so much easier because we were just getting that gradual incline of seeing progress. And then at the end of year two, we started a new remedy, and that remedy, oh, was so amazing. We ended up staying on that remedy for a year, and just different potencies of it. And that remedy, I just feel like, kicked all the rest of the PANDA stuff and the OCD stuff. And I just felt like, I'm like, we're getting our child back. Like, that was, like, in year three is when I was like, I think I'm seeing my child back. And it had been so long, because when he was a little kid, he was just this happy, sweet, easygoing. I mean, he didn't like to talk to other people, but okay. But with us, he was happy and sweet, and I just had this distressed child for so long, and so I was like, we're getting our child back. And so we stayed on that remedy for about that whole year, and then we ended up switching to some other remedies that I feel like by that point we weren't focusing on PANDAS symptoms anymore. We were starting to focus on, like, is there any autism symptoms, like, that we can just be seeing if we can do to help, strengthen his body. And then my younger one, his he wasn't ever as he had a lot of things going on. He wasn't ever as traumatic, but I feel like the first year was kind of slow going, and then the second year is when we started ramping up, seeing more improvements. And again, with him, I feel like around the third year is when, like, we like I just like that was I think my kids are just slow, I guess, to heal. But if I look back from where we were to where we are now, it is like extremely significant improvements.
Did you ever deal with either of them refusing to take their remedies?
No, we had not during that. The funny thing is my oldest now, like this last about 9 months, he won't take remedies. And I'm like, kid, because you know that this helped you, but he is like, but I'm fine now. And so in his mind, he's like, I don't need it. I'm fine now. And I'm like, well, it's true. You're not struggling with all the things. And so, yes, it is true. But for me, I'm like, oh, but there's still so many good things it could do for your body. So he's being in a little mood right now. But when it was tough, like, I think they were just so thrilled to take that over all the supplements I was trying before. And so we actually did not have refusal during the hard times. So that was good.
Very good. I want to go backwards to right when you first started talking about the healing journey. And you were talking about that homeopathy just felt right. And this is why I always tell moms to really lean into their intuition. And it's just such a wild thing because I think so many of us have this knowing inside of us what our children's body needs. And it's really hard to listen to that whenever your kid's struggling and you want to help them quickly. And so I applaud you for leaning into that intuition because I know it's a really hard thing to stay. And it's really hard not to kind of jump ship and go, do the quick things and really kind of take time to allow their bodies to heal. So just high five to you for following that intuition and sticking with it. It's a hard thing to do.
That is my biggest regret and my biggest accomplishment. Because from 5 years old to 12 years old, I did a lot of things that the experts recommended that in my gut, I was like, this isn't right. This isn't right. Even like forcing him to go to school for so long, just lots of little things, whether it's health related or other things, people would say things and I'd get this like response inside that I'm like, oh, this just doesn't seem right for him. But I was like, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to handle this. Like, if I knew how to handle this, I would have had this fixed already. And so then I would question my own feelings about it. And I would be like, well, all of these experts are saying this. So I would be so stupid and foolish not to do it this way. And I care about my child. So I'm going to put aside what I feel for him. And so I thought I was doing something good for him by putting aside what I felt to do what everyone said was right. But things just got. Like aside from a PANDAS issue, like school and everything was very traumatic for him, and putting that aside. And so I finally got to the point around the time that I was coming into learning about homeopathy that I was just like, I cannot do it anymore. And I actually think that's the reason why I was depressed. I think the depression came along with just all the hard things we were dealing with, but I now believe that a lot of the depression was because I wasn't listening to my intuition and what I knew, and I was trying to do all these things that seemed right, but it was very against what I felt I should be doing. I felt like I should have pulled my child from school day one. I'm like, this isn't right for him. This is causing him lots of trauma. But I was like, no, that wouldn't be good for him. How is he ever going to learn social skills if I did? You know what I mean? Like the dynamic you go back. So again, that is like my biggest regret because I'm like, oh, if I had listened to what I felt sooner, like I could have made it better for him sooner. And that's something that I'm working through. But when I did, I was finally at the place when I did homeopathy that I'm like, I tried all the things people said, and this feels right to me, and I'm going to stick with it because this feels right to me. And it was so hard because I was in the very new stages of like, nope, this feels right. I'm sticking with it. And it was rough. And I questioned myself. That's why I said I questioned myself every day. But when we got through it, I was like, that is the biggest gift that I could have ever learned. Like on a soul level, like for me, that is the biggest. thing for me to have learned, because it ended up being a really good thing for myself and for my kids.
Yeah. And if you think about it, because I have the same regrets, the before home therapy regrets. If you think about it, our biggest regrets were also our biggest gifts, because that's what got us to homeopathy. And I don't know what it would have looked like. How would I have found homeopathy if all the other things passed? So regrets, yes, but also blessings, because we had to walk out what our healing journey looked like. And those spots where we have regrets were also necessary to get us to homeopathy.
I can totally see that now. I could not
Yeah.
see that. I could not see that for the last 15 years, but I can see it now. And I keep telling people, I'm like, I actually like who I am better now, because when we're just doing what feels right for us, like we're actually creating a life that is good for us that we want, versus like fighting against doing, I don't know. It's, and I feel like, I don't know, it's been such a good thing for me now. So I don't want to do it again, but it's, there's been good things that have come from it.
Yeah. I'm curious how homeopathy has helped your other family members, including like you. If you're using homeopathy, you mentioned in your bio that I read about your own stuff that you've been working through. So has homeopathy been part of your healing journey, and how has homeopathy helped anybody else in your family?
Yeah, so I have now started studying like remedies and things like that. And for the most part, I'm using homeopathy, you know, for like acute illnesses, you know, short-term things. But I now have like my entire extended family using it. And like my two boys still see resilience, and so because they've needed like deeper constitutional healing. But there's been so many things. I feel like my allergies have been have improved. I feel like I've had some things with my cycle with PCOS improve. My daughter had a few injuries. This was before we started homeopathy, and she used a lot of Motrin. And after that, because it happened back to back, she had stomach issues where her stomach was always hurting, and we started introducing some homeopathy, and her stomach's doing a lot better. My little niece, when she was 5 or 6, started having strep throat all of the time. And they were considering taking her tonsils out. And I was like, you could try this route, because she also at the same time was having a little bit of like OCD perfectionistic kind of things that were probably to someone else wouldn't seem like a big deal. But for me, I was like, oh, please don't let her go down that. Like it was like small reminders of where we started. And she maybe never would have gone there, but it was really scary for me. And they started using homeopathy with her, and she never had to have her tonsils out
Yay.
and stopped getting strep, and she hasn't had strep for years. And so I just feel like it's like expanding, and we've been seeing success with it. And I just feel so much relief to be like, if I could give that to my other kids or my nieces or nephews, to think that maybe if there was any predispositions, I don't know if there's any predispositions genetically or not, but if there was, maybe their bodies can just be strengthened and work through that without having to get to the traumatic place we did.
Yeah. That's amazing. So I'm curious what your favorite thing about homeopathy is. And on the flip side, what's been the most challenging part of it?
My favorite thing is the concept that your body is trying to communicate with you. I just did not know that before. I had never considered it, never heard it. And so it was always this thing that like, oh, you might have this genetic, or you just have this or whatever, and you're just like a victim to your body. Like if your body doesn't work, that's really sad and that's awful, but there's nothing you can do about it, kind of. I don't know. And then when I heard that our body is trying to communicate with us, like the symptoms are literally the guide to picking the remedy. That has been profound for me, to be like, my body is just trying to communicate with me. It's just trying to tell me that something isn't right and it needs something. And that has actually led me onto a journey of like other things. Like I know a lot of people that meditate or things like that. Like your body wants to talk to you and wants to communicate with you, because it wants you to live more and aligned with who you're supposed to be. And so it's just been like this whole path of that our body is not trying to work against us. Our body is just trying to communicate that something is wrong, and don't tell the symptoms. Shh, you know, just like, okay, what do you want to know? Let me look at the symptoms. And like with homeopathy, finding the right remedy for what your body's asking for. And my frustrating thing with homeopathy is that it can be very difficult to share, because I have shared it with some people, and I've And like, okay, this might be a remedy to try. And then the remedy doesn't help anything. And they're like, okay, well, I tried it. It doesn't work. And I tried to explain to them, like, if it's not the right remedy match, it won't be the thing that like kicks your body into the right process it needs to perform. I don't know how to explain it right. But it's really hard. If somebody doesn't start to understand the whole process by which homeopathy works, you can try a remedy or two or three. And if it doesn't work, you're like, that didn't work for me. And you kind of bail on it. So I feel like it's hard to share homeopathy.
I agree wholeheartedly with both of the things that you said. Like, it was a transformative thing for me to recognize symptoms as information, emotions as information, not necessarily as something to make go away, but as something to lean into to understand a little bit more. So I love that that's your favorite thing because it's definitely one of my favorite things too. And one of the most challenging things, like, yeah, that's one of the things that Jody and I we have talked about a lot, or we've like struggled with. And like, the reality is, like, finding the right fit is not always easy. And like the stuff that you're going to get on the internet, or even with AI or whatever, is not necessarily going to be like the going to get you to the right remedy, especially for something that's like complex chronic illness, PANS or otherwise. And it's so I my heart breaks for all of the people who try a couple of things and just like, okay, it's not working for me, whether they're going it alone or even if they're working with a skilled homeopath and just haven't found the right fit yet. My heart breaks for people who are just like, oh, I tried it and it doesn't work, or oh, I tried a couple and it's just not for me. Because
Because if we had given up like in the first year, we wouldn't have been here. And that was a whole year of trying. But I was like, I don't know why. I feel like I have to do this, you know.
I feel like we know the secret of the universe, or maybe not the universe, of the human body. It's like this little secret that we know that our bodies are actually talking to us and giving very specific instructions. But getting other people to understand or believe that is such a hard thing to do. And it's like, no, this thing is amazing. I want everyone to know about it. But
I
then
am like extremely offended that we have not been taught this our whole lives.
I
Like,
know, me too. Oh, Candace, tell us what life looks like today.
so my biggest, if I could like describe it up, I'm like, it's calm. Like we lived for so long that I just always felt on edge. Like I just felt like my nervous system could never relax. And that's even just me. I wasn't even the one suffering, you know, but watch as a mom, watching your child suffer is traumatic. I think I said that before. It is so traumatic. Not knowing how to help them, not like the pressure of if you're making the right decisions. So I just felt like we lived a good dozen or not dozen, maybe about 10 years. Just felt like my nervous system couldn't relax. Like I said something to somebody the other day, I'm like, and I didn't mean it. It just came out of me, but it was like, oh, I couldn't just breathe. And all of a sudden I was like, and by the way, I've had stuffy nose for forever. It was just like, oh, was that a symbolism there? Like, I've been having trouble breathing because I literally was like, everything in life, we just couldn't take in and out because it was so stressful. But life right now is just calm. Not everything's perfect. You know, we have our moments, but nobody's on edge. Like, the things that my kids still have, they still have some autistic symptoms. The things that they have, we're just dealing with. We're getting the right support needs in place, but they're calm. Pandas was traumatic. Like everything was traumatic. Now we're calm and we're actually getting to start doing some things that each of us would like to do rather than only focusing on surviving. And yes, my house just feels calm and I feel like our nervous systems are finally getting to relax.
So I'm curious what advice you would offer to parents who are trying to navigate PANS and ASD.
For those, I just think it is hard to distinguish, and I know that there's a varying level of autism symptoms. Some of the ones that need significant levels of support that could maybe be traumatic. But I would say on a whole, the symptoms that your child is experiencing, at least if it's anything like mine, it was the PANDAS symptoms that were the traumatic, difficult ones. Like the autism symptoms, when you they can still be hard, but when you get the right supports in place, or you figure out the right learning style for your child. A lot of things, you can still live a happy life if you have the right supports in place. But it was the PANDAS symptoms for me that
Yeah.
were causing all the distress and trauma and depression. And so I think for people that are experiencing both, just to know that it's hard. Not a lot of people are going to understand you because you don't fit into any perfect box, but that there is healing. And when the PANDAS symptoms heal, like, it's amazing. Like, life is like, there's so much hope. I think I just want them to know that there is a lot of hope for healing.
Yeah. And then finally, what advice would you offer to families who are considering homeopathy?
I know not everybody likes to do things and just deep dive into it, but if you're just a person that just like, I just know this is what I need to do, go forth it, fine. But I would say if you're not sure, it's worth your time to watch some of the podcast, to maybe pick up a book or two and read it. Like, when you understand the mechanism by how homeopathy works in the body, it's not the same as just any natural remedy. Even though I still love natural remedies and I use them all the time, it's just the mechanism of how it works is not the same. So if you don't understand how it works, I think it makes it a lot harder to stick through the process. And when you understand how it works, you're like, okay, I'm starting to, I just, it just makes it easier to understand and to actually get the success with homeopathy.
Excellent advice. Well, so grateful for your willingness to come and share. And I especially am grateful because of the fact that it took you a year to find something. And, there are some people, it's not common for it to take that long. So anybody who's like freaking out, like it could be a year before you see some results. Yes, it could. And that is rare. And I'm so grateful that you both stuck with it, and I'm grateful that it's led you to this point to be able to come here and share with us your experience. And I'm just so grateful for all of it. I'm so happy to hear about the calm. Like, the calm is such a gift that we take for granted until we don't have it accessible to us. So,
I'm very grateful. Yeah.
yeah, and I'm even more grateful because I remember your kiddo's case being brought to the call and to the to I remember working on it and just like how intense everything was and how hard that was. So it's like a full circle that I get to talk to you now and we get to celebrate
That's
being
so
on the
fun.
other side
Yeah,
of
because I've never actually talked to you in person.
it. I know, and it's so it's such a gift that I get the opportunity to talk to you guys, especially when I'm like, I know your cases, I know the things that have gone on, and just to see this other side is just such a gift. So thank you.
Can I just say one thing about Dr. Rowley? Every doctor we saw before, we saw some doctors that I don't think had a clue what they were talking about for my specific kids' cases. And we saw some decent ones, but nobody ever just met with me with like such a lack of judgment. Like, I just met with her and it was never like, everywhere else, it just always felt like, okay, your kid has this, but also if you did X, Y, and Z, like they would be better. Like, there was just always a feeling of somehow, I don't know, maybe that was just me in my own head. I always felt like it was something I wasn't doing well enough. But Dr. Rowley just came in. Everything was so not judgmental. She was just like, yeah, I understand. Like, let's, focus on the symptoms and just doing that. And it was such a relief to work with somebody that I just felt safe, like telling them everything. Because without judgment, and also that's what I needed in order to really lay it all out there and have her be able to work on this case.
Yeah. No, she is amazing. And I'm gonna like just sing the praises of every provider here at Resilience Naturopathic because that is like one of our foundational things is you don't have to convince us, we believe you. We believe what you're experiencing. It's not the first time we've heard it. We gotcha. We believe you, just tell us.
I
So
really needed that, yeah.
it like that in its of itself. I've heard from many parents that has a like a, its own healing properties too.
It did. For me, it did. I needed that to not feel like I was crazy and that,
Yeah.
I needed it.
Yeah. Well, I love that we get the opportunity to sing any of our providers' praises. And Dr. Rowley is just super amazing. She is one of my favorite people in the whole world. So I'm guessing she's one of yours too. All right. Well, with that, I just again Thank you so much, and we'll let you head on to enjoy the rest of your day in calm and relative
Yes, it's
quote.
calm. Do you see? Did you not see?
I
There was no
know.
trauma in the background of my house. My kids are all home, by the way.
Well, that speaks to itself right
Well.
there. All right. Take care, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.